Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, old advert lovers, and welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where you're about to have another load of quality oral bollocks delivered directly to your ear holes by two middle-aged men with nothing else better to do. Thanks for joining us again as we continue our mission of making it impossible for you to underestimate us. This week on the pod, Tony's Uber passenger rating raises its ugly head before we segue into me having a generic old man ranting at the cloud session about exotic birds in ride-sharing vehicles. We meander down memory lane, swerving the white dog shit and that bloke your parents called uncle, who spent a load of time trying to get you to come and have a look at the train set in his shed, to find out how Tones vandalised his mum's car with a cigarette lighter before not being allowed in the monkey enclosure at Dudley Wildlife Park because the family Ford Escort had velour seats. And if you stick with it, you'll hear as a veteran fisherman gets in touch and leaves us with a personal message for inclusion in this episode, where we review the John West TV commercial voted as the UK's funniest telly ad ever. Yes, the love child of Wurzel Gummidge and Tony's dad joins the list of celebs who are now using the world's foremost podcast about old ads and paedophile celebrities as a platform to amplify their media profile. After Enya and Wolf Carla, the original John West now gets on the blower to reveal himself to be a cuddly old chap, deeply committed to the use of pilchard juice as an aphrodisiac and hell-bent on raping the ocean of all suitable fish-based protein. So why not join me, Steve Cook, and my co-host, Tony Williams, award-winning advertising creative and TV commercial director, as we take a look at a TV ad featuring a bloke in a bear suit with Bob the Builder as the voiceover talent.
Bastard!
Benedict Cumberbatch. Boiling carrots in an aubergine stew.
I feel like the ragged sombrero.
What is that? Where does it come from?
I don't know. It's not in...
It's like, is it Peter O'Toole or someone? Ian McKellen or something?
It sounds like it.
Something like that, yeah.
I watched that movie that you recommended, Mindhorn, and he doesn't do it in Mindhorn. Although he does...
I know, when he's warming up, he says bastard, doesn't he?
He does do a lot of warm-up. Like, bastard!
I was thinking about that you watched a movie that I recommended. It's like, because I was thinking about something else to recommend to you this morning. I went, no, I won't bother, because you never like anything I share with you.
Oh. I don't think that's true.
Radio silence.
I don't think that's true.
So true.
At all.
Funny how it seems.
Although you do watch everything that I recommend to you.
I do. Are you being facetious?
No, I went back and watched the other couple of episodes of How to Speak Australians. That's hilarious.
The one I remember, I thought, hi, dog collar still available. Yes. I got very high rating on Gumtree. I was very upset to see my Uber rating was only 4.7. Like, what the fuck?
What, as a passenger?
Yeah, I've never been nasty to anyone. Where's that 0.3 gone? And apparently you get reduction if you're like late for the pickup or you're too far away. I'm thinking, bollocks, I'm not. Or you slam the door too much.
I got in an Uber the other day for the first time in probably a year or something. And I had, You know, you can kind of tick the box that says, don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Don't want the heating on.
Yeah.
So I'd said, air conditioning on, no talking. Thanks very much. Get in the car.
Ready, man. Hey, Mr. Dima.
He's like a...
You have a good day?
He was, I don't know, maybe from the Philippines or something like that. It was like a sauna. It's a fucking sauna. And he just started talking and just yapped at us.
Yeah, I was going to have the white earphones and say, I don't mean to be rude. I've just got to listen to this work.
I wish I'd thought of that. And I deliberately got in the back as well, you know, because...
you have to now, right?
Do you?
Yeah, because of COVID.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. It's always like that.
There's
yeah.
that whole thing about the egalitarianism of Uber where you sit in the front next to the guy and it's all, you know, it's like, oh, bullshit. No, none of that.
I'm getting strangers.
I'm getting in the back. I've ticked the no talking box. I've ticked the high air conditioning box. The only thing missing from that car was a fucking parrot flying around in the back.
And a few lady boys and a couple of child prostitutes. I'm in a ciggy.
Anyway. Okay, all right. Welcome back, Tones.
Back from where?
I don't know. Back from whichever bush both of us have been living under. The year is 2000.
Let's all go down in the year 2000.
Let's all meet up in
let's
the year
Let's all meet
2000.
Up. Oh, that's why I fucking missed it.
Won't
I didn't understand the lyrics.
When we're all fully grown.
Jarvis Cocker. Yeah, Jarvis Cocker.
From Sheffield. Jarvis,
hi. That's what it was. Very
nice. The year 2000, PlayStation 2 is released.
PlayStation.
Did you have a PlayStation 2?
I did have a PlayStation
2. Was it any good?
Yeah, it was alright.
Was it better than the original PlayStation?
Well, it depends. When you say better, it's two. The other one's one.
So it's twice as good.
No, it's. I don't think it was that much of a leap, actually.
Nintendo launched the GameCube. Did you have a GameCube?
I didn't have a GameCube. That was a bit of a flop, wasn't it?
I've no idea. The only reason I've got this in is because I know that you're a gamer. And
well, the very fact that you don't know says to me, wasn't the biggest success.
I put this in because I just thought it was really funny. Do you know who Billy Corgan is?
Yeah, he's from the Smashing Pumpkins.
So, you know, and obviously you know who Sharon Osbourne is. So Sharon Osbourne was the manager of the Smashing Pumpkins for 3 months, right?
Well, there were pumpkins before she managed them.
In 2000, Sharon Osbourne quits as the manager of the Smashing Pumpkins after three months.
In her
press release, she says that she had to resign for medical reasons, because Billy Corgan was making me sick.
Oh, nice. I like that. I wouldn't mind using that.
That's great, isn't it?
Sharon, use the computer. You can't move.
I thought that was a really, really...
That's very good.
Quite witty.
Yeah, I'm not at work today. Why? I've got bad stomach. Why? Because you're giving me the shits.
Yes, exactly. Do you remember the Millennium Bridge over the Thames?
I do. Is that when the wobbled?
I didn't remember that, but you're absolutely right. They had to close it like 20 minutes after I opened it because 100,000 people attempted to cross the bridge.
That's right.
At the same time, and they're all walking in step, and the bridge
without
started
realizing.
Swaying from side
yeah.
to side.
Yeah, I watched it on the funny enough. It appeared on a YouTube clip I was watching.
And it's the
day.
Most British thing ever because I was watching the same YouTube clip probably. And it's absolutely rammed with people.
Yeah.
The whole thing's swaying.
And everyone's just trying to not look as if, yeah.
It's swaying from side to side and everybody's just carrying
everything
on.
Everything in. Is this me?
I think it's supposed to be like this.
I must get over the water so I can go and have a look at Sharon's art of the bed and made bed or the pile of bricks. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
It was so British. 100,000 people on this bridge. It's swaying like a hammock. And they're all just walking
It was quite amazing, wasn't it?
Eating ice creams.
Fantastic. In the cold.
Yeah. Big Brother started in the year 2000. The British have got a lot to answer for with that bullshit. Production of the Ford Escort ended after 32 years.
We saw the Ford Escort gear, vinyl roof, bright yellow.
A gear.
Mum used to do community nursing and after school she picked me up and I sat there and had velour seats, right? And I was looking around and there wasn't many buttons to push in those days, but this one did. Popped in, popped out, popped in, cigarette lighter. I go, oh, looks round circles. I went, what does this do on the seat? Right? And it burnt the velour. It burnt a perfect target symbol in the velour. And Mum came out and she went, I went, Mum. And like, it was literally a week old. And of course, they couldn't say anything like, because they couldn't leave a child in the car with a cigarette lighter. And I'm like, no. But Dad still brings it up today. Honestly, to this very day. You don't really, you know, guess what with your new seats, will I? And we always used to panic when we went to Dudley Wildlife Park, is it? And because you've got vinyl roofs, you can't go in the monkey park. It's brilliant.
So there's like a bypass if you've got an expensive car, you have to go around.
Middle course at Wembley, vinyl roofs this way.
What did you get if it was a gear?
Velour seats, cigarette lighter.
Was that an optional extra, the fag light?
Well, I don't know. It was definitely the velour seat to the sport. I think it had a spoiler on the back. JWT122T was the registration plate.
The Queen Mother turned 100 in the year 2000.
Did she?
Yes. And guess who got, which actor, which of your favourite actors got a knighthood in the year 2000?
Well, I think it's fantastic.
No.
I don't know.
His mate. Michael Caine.
Oh, a lot of people know that. Hello, Queenie. She was only 15.
Hello, Queenie. Hello, Queenie.
Yeah, I can't do him. Yeah. He's brilliant. I like him.
The UK's number one Christmas single was Can We Fix It by...
Yes, we can. Yeah, Bob the Builder. You know what Bob the Builder's going to be called after he retires?
Bob.
That was the number one. Because you imagine all the Christmas parties going, it's Christmas, come on.
Yeah. Louis Theroux released a series of documentary films in 2000.
Hello, I'm Louis Theroux.
The one that became famous was when he met his childhood hero, Jimmy Savile.
Oh, no!
I haven't watched it, but apparently Louis asked him about the paedophilia accusations and Jimmy just kind of shrugged it off.
No, they were just getting around.
And Louis copped a bit of flack for not pushing him harder.
Hello, I'm Louis Theroux. This week I'm going to be talking to Jimmy Savile.
I can't say anymore. It doesn't matter.
With tracksuits. Only come in large tops and small bottoms. Fine.
Now then. This is the H off the train.
Okay.
GM will fix it for you.
Meanwhile, and you. Meanwhile, yeah. In Australia, don't say that anything interesting doesn't happen in Australia. The year 2000, a woman called Catherine Knight murdered her partner, John Price. I can't remember this. She murdered him by stabbing him 37 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then she proceeded to cut his head off.
So is there anyone else that uses proceeded unless they're talking about a police report? I proceeded, yeah? Cut his head off, yeah?
She proceeded to cut his head off. So she decapitated him, and then she skinned him, and then she started cooking up.
Hello, Clary.
Cooking up bits of him and putting them in the freezer for later.
I think we can all appreciate how she's felt at one time or another. It's Y2K. You haven't mentioned Y2K yet. But that's what it was. She was ready for the big meltdown. She went, fuck it, I can do anything I want because nothing's going to happen. The world's going to just implode. What I want to do, I always wanted to fucking stab him and eat him.
I always wondered what a human liver tastes like. I thought this is a bit weird. There wasn't much going on in Australia, but I thought you might like to guess what these shows were about. I can't actually tell you what they were about, but all these shows all debuted in...
Thank you for saying debut, not debut.
They all debuted in 2000 on Australian TV.
Okay.
What do you think Dog Woman was about?
Dog Woman. I think I went out with her. Dog Woman. She was a dog whisperer.
And what about Mikey? No. Mike, I don't know.
She was a dog whisperer,
I didn't really want to look into it.
Is that like Barbara Woodhouse?
I thought it would be interesting just for you to guess what they might be about.
It'd be Barbara Woodhouse, but it's Australian, so it's go, shit, not Sid.
What about The New Adventures of Ocean Girl?
That is about a girl who got most of her body eaten off by a shark in the ocean, and she just propels herself by a minge. Like a torpedo. Here she comes, like a torpedo.
Okay. Yeah. What about the mole?
Oh, well, I think the mole is a follow-up.
The mole.
I think that might have to do with a black spider and the moles. I don't know.
If you don't live in Australia, do you think that word mole means anything?
There's mole,
M-O-L-E. So there's two versions. And there's a mole, which is like an undercover secret agent, right? So it's a mole. But then in Australia, there's a mole.
There's a mole.
If you call a woman a mole, not a mole, not an M-O-L-L, an M-O-L-E.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll be calling him M-O-L-L all the time.
Because that a mole is like a gangster's mole.
That's right, yeah.
So that's like a gangster's girlfriend. M-O-L-L, yeah.
Right.
Whereas M-O-L-E, if you call a woman a mole in Australia, then you're saying that she's a really unpleasant woman.
You know what? I've been saying, how are you, mole? M-O-L-E.
I think it's the same thing, isn't it?
Pronouncing it wrong.
But the pronunciation doesn't matter.
I know. It's just, yeah, it doesn't matter. But Australia is the only place in the world that you can use the word fuck in every possible
sense.
And the example is... The guy on the road, like he's trying to, his tools are broken, he's trying to fix it. He's fucking fact. Right? Every possible way. Mole.
There's another one, the potato factory.
Oh, you think that one's about, potatoes?
Cushion kids.
Oh, hello. Jimmy Savile again.
One size fits all. Hello.
Or at least I'll make
Melvin,
it fit.
Melvin.
When are you going to do me, Jimmy? No.
So, hello, I'm new through. I'm going to do cushion kids.
What's a TV like Australia? Well, we've got Pizza Potato, Jake and the Fat Man.
Cushion Kids.
Cushion Kids.
Jimmy Savile in One Size Fits All.
fat. And
the new adventures of Ocean Girl, the mole.
Minge Bowen.
Minge Bowen, Ocean Girl. Okay, meanwhile in Weatherfield...
Oh, here he is.
According to my sources, wishy-washy Coronation Street intellectual Ken Barlow...
Who's he married?
...does not feature in a single episode.
Get off.
I don't know what happened.
He's got to have a holiday sometime, Stephen.
Don't know what happened. But it's probably after... Year.
Well, after all those romances and shagging Deirdre.
I did find two other bits of information about Coronation Street. Mm-hmm. Jack Duckworth...
Vera, with my facts.
...placed a £5,000 bet on a greyhound...
Oh, well, that'll weigh him down.
And it won. £59,000 they won. So you can see that how that plot line went. You know, Vera's battery.
Vera, we got £59,000. Go and make some more fags. Oh, Jack.
And then this, I thought this was lovely. To celebrate 40 years of Coronation Street, they had a live episode.
I suppose they all did. A live episode.
A live episode.
And what happened and what went wrong?
There was a residents' protest because the cobbles in the street were going to be tarmacked.
Oh, see, that's easy. That's mass chaos. What about the cat? Could they get the cat to sit on the wall properly?
Don't know. They forged a preservation order to defeat the council's crack squad of tarmackers.
Stimulating episode that must have been.
I know. You have to love it, kind of, don't you, for being so dreary.
So, top hits any more of the year? I enjoy these.
What's that, sorry?
What, music of the year?
I didn't say music, because what we're going to do Y2K. Is I'm going to test you on... in 2008, Campaign Magazine voted for their 10 funniest ads of all time.
Mm.
And I'm going to give you the brands and see if you can guess any of the ads.
All right.
All right, do you want to do that now?
Let's do that now.
Okay, so I can tell you now that coming in at number 10, Castlemaine Forex.
Right. Do you want the ad? Is that what we think we've ever done it with the sherry?
It's not that, but it's very similar
to
that.
Is it Paul Hogan in England where all people are fishing?
No. So I'll give you a clue. It features a ute, again, full of beer.
Yeah.
But in the back of the ute is... In the front of the ute, there are two blokes, and in the back of the ute, there's a woman sitting on top of all the beer.
Mm.
That's where do you go from there?
Oh, she has to get off and walk?
Kind of.
They beat her up?
I think you're not remembering it. So the car drives over a wooden bridge, and the bridge falls out, leaving the car precariously balanced. And the wife turns to the bloke in the front and says, I think if we lose some weight off the back... We're going to be all right.
Did they just look at each other?
And one of the blokes looks at the other bloke and goes, gee, she's a good sport.
Remember that. Yeah, very good. Very good. Wouldn't be allowed today, of course. Times are different then.
Heineken. Go on.
Refreshes the parts that other beers can't reach.
Which one?
The water in Majorca ain't quite what it ought to.
Correct. Water in Majorca ain't what it
Well, the water in Majorca isn't quite how it should.
By Low Howard Spink. You're going to struggle with this one. Budget Rent-A-Car got in at number 8.
Okay.
With an ad that I had never seen.
Is this one for ideas? And it's the one with they all fall asleep in the back of the car to aromatherapy?
No, it's called Jet Propulsion. Number 7 was an ad for Orange, which featured Snoop Dogg.
Oh, I don't know. He'll put his name to anything, won't he? Don't know. Orange was out of my past my...
Right. That was my mother. Number 6 was FedEx, Fast Paced World. You must remember this one. It's just a guy sat at a desk talking really, really quickly.
Oh, I do maybe remember it. Yeah.
Number 5, Carling Black Label.
Carling Black Label. Is that the bouncing bomb?
Gangbusters.
Yeah. Very good. I love that. That's brilliant. They were two good comedians, weren't they? They were always like doing sketches on TV and whatnot.
Number 4, John Smith's.
Oh, with the miserable. What was his name? The comedian. Is it John Smith? What, Jack D?
No. Not him.
Oh, is it Peter K?
Peter K.
Straight up.
And there's a lot to choose from.
Oh, so the best when they're having a curry. They go, oh, I love that.
You've got it.
Speak to your dad. I'll put him on. No burglars. No, is it no monsters? You have got to watch your burglars. I like the best one. What's the best one? Is go on, tell us who you like, if there is anyone you like. I don't like anyone. She goes, go on, it's going to be someone. He says, I don't like. He says, just name someone who you fancy. He says, don't. He goes, all right, Maria the Counts.
I just said it's really interesting that you talk about this because we'll come back to that. But my favourite is the one where he goes round to tell his mum that she's going, they're putting into her old, into an old an old people's home.
Yeah.
And the mum's only about 45 or something.
That's right.
Then he goes, look, the kids are scared of your moustache.
That's right.
Come on. She goes, I'm only 45. She says, oh, I've had a word. They'll take you early.
That's right.
Come on, get your stuff. I've got to get a snooker table in this room.
I love them. And the football. Was that a squeaky chair?
Yes.
Waiter. I think we might have leakage. I think we've dropped some brown trout off in the pool. Some bum rubbish on the floor. Sweep it up.
Have it. Hamlet.
This is the baldy man in the photo booth.
Photo booth.
Shot by Graham Rose, a director. Lovely guy. Worked with him. Worked the more you know about him. Very funny at that.
Number two, Blackcurrant Tango.
Come on, Sebastian. You think you're French? You come over here.
Yeah. St. George, it was called that ad. And at number one, what was the number one voted funniest ad?
Oh, dear. Tango? Oh, no, we said Blackcurrant Tango, didn't we? Don't know, go on. No, don't mouth it to me. It doesn't matter.
It's the ad that we're doing today, Tony.
It never is. No, is it?
Yes, it is.
That's bizarre because I remember it when we were... when I saw it in Australia and I thought... And it popped up the other day on, like, you know, funniest commercials of the world or band commercials or something. I didn't realise it was that popular in the era.
This is an industry panel of people.
Yeah, so that's very industry, yeah. So it is John West we're doing today.
Yeah,
that's why.
What did you think we were doing?
No, he called and left a message. John called.
John who?
West. Hang on. I wondered why he was calling. Hang on.
is he rejecting the best?
I'm not sure. Hang on. John West called. Let me rewind it. Hang on. Let's see.
Fucking John West.
Hello, me lovelies. It's John West here. No, not Kanye, Dad. Oh, no. Nor am I relating to that wrong one who did all that bad stuff. That's Fred West. Anyway, I'm calling from the Cornwall region. So anyway, you probably don't know me as I don't appear on land much. I always seem to be up to me elbows in tuna guts, you see. I just wanted to say I'm all wibbly inside about you two nutters reviewing my ad. In fact, I told the missus only last night, as I'm casting me net, you buggers are casting nets on the net casts with web pods and stuff in there and web nets. Anyway, I'm expecting you to do a good job of it too. You know, I ain't nothing like that man from Del Monte. I reject you from the hall just so you twazzits can drive back from the supermarket in your BMWs and open a fresh tin of some chicken of the sea. Oh, I'd butter that smell if I could. My missus never stops smelling a fish now. I love it, I do. And her does. She comes to me the other day and she says, hey, John West. Because that's my name and all. She said to me, what did fish smell of before women swam in the sea? Well, I never did. I told her she can't say things like that in this day and age. There's got to be more collective political. Anyway, my lovers, I'm about to depart on my next voyage to scrape the ocean floor for the good stuff. Don't forget to say who you're supposed to... Oh, yeah, okay, I've got to say something. No animals or bears were harmed in the making of this commercial. It was just my missus wearing a bearskin and it were her trying to kick the bloke in the cobblers, not a real bear. Thank you very much. All right, shipmates, I must paddle off now and do my casting from the world of fine tuna. All right, I've got to get on. Ta-ra now. Bye. Didn't really matter anyway. I reject most of the fuckers, so I don't know what is it.
So, I couldn't believe we threw the job with that. After he called. That's unbelievable. So I spend.
I can't believe that your dad is John West.
Even more bizarre is he kept talking about tuna when the ad we're reviewing is for John West Salmon. How did he get that so wrong? Because he was rapping and everything.
He got too much time on his hands.
Do you know what? I think he was doing some other stuff. He was going.
No. Hang on a minute. No, definitely not. No. Remember that, did you? No. Hello, my name's John West. You might know me from my commercials for John West. And I just want to say, unless you're my missus, sashaying in of an eve, with a couple of dabs of pilcher juice behind her ears, my words will always be no. No to the bad stuff in the oceans. We only keep the good stuff. In fact, we throw a lot of the old shit back out. It's rubbish. Chinese love it. Anyway, we do. We find tampons and everything. Anyway, chicken in the sea. We only keep the good fishes. Fish eye for you to eat, new posh people in your tins and stuff, because you love it. So I don't say yes to anybody unless you got to build your juice. John West, you tried the rest, try the best, the man in a vest.
Oh, you like that? I made that up, didn't I? Yes, you think so.
It's funny, isn't it? How John's not the smartest tool in the shed. It sounds like the love child of Wurzel Gummidge.
And your dad.
My dad. Well, yeah. Posher than my dad. Oh, so there you go. He goes on. Don't give him a mic because he doesn't stop. I tell you. He loves his fish to me.
There's a couple of bits in there we might have to edit out for our female listeners.
But I didn't realise he has a few words, fumbling words, didn't he? Like Aunt Sally. And now the competition is like the king. Come on, Boris. Anyway, them kiddlings coming around.
As you said, this ad is for tinned salmon.
Yeah. Well, but whenever I think of John West, I think of
vest.
I think of... See, the other bit, soundtrack he plays, and this guy goes, no, 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 there's no limits. A fish, right? But I always think of tins of tuna. Okay, moving on. Scene.
Oh, you're absolutely right. The ad is for tinned salmon, but John West are now famous for tuna, aren't they?
Well, it's just the difference in, obviously in our shopping routines.
2000. To 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Had you eaten tuna 21 years ago?
Had I eaten tuna? Yeah. I'd eaten tuna.
Were you in Japan in 2000?
I was, left Singapore.
So you would have been eating tuna like there was no tomorrow.
Little factoid, because we obviously a lot of salmon is my favourite sashimi, right? That only 10% of the world's salmon is caught wild. 90% of it. It's farmed. Because it's farmed, it doesn't have all like the natural sort of, things it eats. And so the flesh is really grey. Mm-hmm. So there's a Pantone chart, a colour chart, like a paint chart of the different colours. So sometimes if you have sushi, you'll see there's like salmon coloured ink like left on your plate.
Yeah.
It's awful, isn't it?
I just spent a bit of time in Scotland. Every single loch in Scotland has a fish farm in it.
Went fly fishing on Loch Lomond.
Did you?
Yeah.
Caught some trout. Did you go with J.R. Hartley?
No, when we're dead, didn't I? Anyway.
All right. So this is, it takes us back to 2000, which is a strange world where tinned fish is still a thing, but it's a thing for poor people.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you why. It's because it's cheap.
Mm.
It's really cheap. I think it's I used to go to my grandma's every Sunday afternoon with my mum, and we would always have Sunday tea, which was served at about 4 o'clock.
Watching the skiing?
And it would, yeah.
Ski Sunday, yeah. Da, 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 that's right. Da,
da. And we would always, always have salmon sandwiches.
Salmon, oh, I don't think I could do the salmon sandwich. That's pretty high level.
And
that's high level.
Salmon came out of a tin.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And it was Prince's salmon. It wasn't John West, because John West was posh and expensive.
Was it?
It was Prince's salmon.
Wow.
So tinned fish in 2000 was a product for people with no money, low income demographic profiles. What in Australia, what we would call battlers.
Yeah.
I think in the UK, we just call them poor people. Sorry, here we go. So this advert was for John West. It was done by Leo Burnett in London. And it was written and art directed by a chap called Paul Thilburn, who I had never heard of. And I am embarrassed to say that now, because he did go on to write all of the John Smith's no-nonsense ads with Peter Kay, including Arrit, and the one where he tells his mum she's going to an old people's home.
I would imagine most of his work and ideas come out when he's at the pub.
Maybe.
Because there's a lot of brawling. There's a lot of straight up. I would imagine he's a short, stocky man.
Paul Silvan was also responsible for what is considered to be the world's first flash mob advert.
Oh.
Can you remember that?
It was a train station, was it?
It was a train station. It was a Liverpool Street station in London.
Was it for a mobile provider?
It was.
Was it for Orange?
No, it was for T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, that's it, the German one.
That was 2009.
Yeah, they were good flash mobs. I did like them. Except once you've done them at the railway station, the local supermarket shopping centre doesn't work, does it?
Yeah, so the T-Mobile one was the first one ever, apparently, and I went back and watched it, and it gave me goosebumps. It was so well done.
Was that the one where they're singing the songs of sound of music?
No, they're all, it's a bunch of people old dancing.
Yeah.
And then it's basically a medley of amazing tunes to dance to.
Yeah, but
including the Blue Danube waltz. So the waltz, and then there's a bit of Kylie, and there's a bit of this, a bit of that, and it's amazing.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
I think I've seen it. Yeah, they're good.
Okay, this advert that we're going to watch now was directed by a bloke called Danny Kleinman. Have you heard of him?
I've not heard of him.
He is responsible for the title sequence of every James Bond film since GoldenEye.
Get out of town. One question, not in later. Wow.
I thought you and him have been, you know...
Is that right? So every film... Sorry, say it again.
Every James Bond movie... Mm. Since GoldenEye,
yep.
With the sole exception of Quantum of Solace,
mm-hmm.
So that includes Skyfall and Spectre,
mm-hmm.
He has directed the title sequence.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's also directed music videos for, amongst others, Madonna,
mm-hmm. Which one?
Fleetwood Mac, Paula Abdul, Wang Chung, Simple Minds, and your old mate, Adam Ant.
Oh, and music.
And music. He's also directed commercials for Smirnoff, Guinness, Levi's, Johnny Walker, Durex, Audi.
And sounds like a Friday night.
And just to cap it all off, he directed the original Boddington's ad featuring Melanie Sykes and the ice cream van in the desert.
Get out.
What?
So which Levi's ad did he do? Do you know?
Don't know. Oh. I know that the Guinness ad was the one which was... weirdly titled Evolution Read Backwards. So it starts off with a mud skipper, like a fish coming out of the water into the mud, and it shows the evolution of man right up until they're in the bar.
Right. Is this the one with what's his name? The blonde head?
Don't know.
I can't remember his name.
It's so long since I watched it.
It's a German guy.
I did say there that it's a long time since I watched that Guinness ad. So long, in fact, that I got the entire premise arse about face. In the advert, three blokes at a bar, none of whom is Rutger Hauer, are drinking pints of Guinness. The ad then shows them evolving backwards to become mudskippers, emerging from the primordial ooze, the idea being that you had to wait a long time for the pint. Look, at least I'm fessing up to being rubbish. I could have bluffed that and ignored the avalanche of criticism from both our subscribers. There you go. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah,
so this is A-team stuff. Paul Silbin wrote, was the copywriter and art director on this job, and Danny Kleinman had either been there and done it or was about to go there and do it.
See, that's pure talent. Well, you can go from doing, you know, the titles of James Bond to all those other long list of blue chip brands to shooting something which, you know, it's so simple, almost, you know, neighbour's handy cam. It's brilliant.
Shooting Madonna and Fleetwood Mac would have been quite difficult, I would have thought. Madonna's got a reputation for being hard to work for. Do you know who the voiceover talent was for this ad?
No. Maybe I do.
At this stage, this is where I'll play the ad. Here you go, podlings. The ad's up on our YouTube channel, but you have to guess where the link is. There you go. Well done.
At the river mouth, the bears catch only the tastiest, most tender salmon. Which is exactly what we at John West want.
Oh, look, an eagle!
John West endured the worst to bring you the best.
We've just watched the ad,
yeah,
and we're back to talking about the voiceover talent. The voiceover talent is Neil Morrissey.
Oh, I know Neil Morrissey. It was from Boone.
He became famous. He was Boone's offsider.
But what's happened to his accent?
And then he became very famous in Men Behaving Badly.
That's right, with Martin Clunes.
At the time, Martin Clunes.
Never seen it.
At the time that he did this ad, he was the voice of Bob the Builder.
Was he really?
And
go on, don't tell me. What are their industries? Does he do Cyril the Carpenter?
I thought there's a bit of a juxtaposition between, because if you watch Men Behaving Badly, it's a series of tit and bum jokes linked together roughly in the script. And then he goes off and he's like, you know, everybody's childhood hero, Bob the Builder. Do you want to tell us about the ad?
The ad is, well, you see, it's by a river. It looks like a beautiful, let's just say, Canadian sort of mountain.
Let's just say that it looks like a river on the Invercold estate.
Open in somewhere beautiful. And there's a bear.
The River Dee, perhaps.
So we open by a river and there is a bear by the river. Four bears, apparently.
One said, "Who ate my pottery?" And then a fisherman approached it. I'm sorry, I've got to remember it exactly. Sorry. Yeah. I remember the gist. So the fisherman approaches.
You watched it 3 minutes ago.
I know. Sorry. Okay. So we So the ad is we see a group of bears, or I don't want a group. It's called bears. A few bears around the side of a river, obviously foraging for food and what have you. And this fisherman. We know he's a fisherman because he's wearing bright orange, what are they, Wellington boots. He like the fly fishing way. He runs up and basically he's trying to steal what the bear has, and he gets into a fist fight, literally. I don't know if you've ever seen the kangaroo and the guy having a bit of a punch up and the man, but it's like that.
This is a classic Know Your Memes moment. The video goes like this. A kangaroo attacks a huge dog. The dog owner runs over in his flannel shirt with his cap on backwards and squares up to the kangaroo. The kangaroo lets go of the dog and squares up to the bloke. The bloke then lands a ripper of a right hook on the hopping bastard. Not a knockout blow, but Skippy's evil twin realises there's a new Chuck Norris in the top paddock and gives it up. Quite simply, the single most Australian video ever. There's a link in the notes. Seriously, you've got to watch it.
So this bear suddenly stands up and we realise it's not a real bear. And they basically, yeah, and they go, put him up, put him up. And they try and trip each other a punch. And then the fisherman goes, look, an eagle. So the bear turns round. The guy stamps on his foot, I think, and he grabs his fish and then runs away.
Kicks him in the nuts.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's very funny. The only thing, yeah, okay, I'll get to my point afterwards, but that's
what,
the ad.
What was your point? Go ahead.
It is funny. It's beautifully shot. It's like, it's that sort of handy, handheld sort of from a distance. You know, there's, as the fisherman comes running up, you know, it opens like a David Attenborough sort of film, but then as soon as the fisherman is running up, there's a crash zoom on it. It all gets a bit like, you know, next door neighbourish. And the only thing I don't like is when he goes, oh, look, it's an eagle.
Yes.
Which is, it feels a little bit panto. Mm. It was so good to do that. I mean, we all knew it's not a real bear. We all knew, you know, what was happening. We were living in this little fantasy, but then, oh, look, there's an eagle. It was sported for me. But anyway, the client has to have input somewhere. and then the pack shop, which could be absolutely anything you want, but I think it's great.
Could be tuna.
It could be.
But it's salmon.
But it was very, very good.
Yes. I mean, in a nutshell, that's it. Okay, so the interesting part is, in advertising, everything, lots of things are compromised out there all the time. The bear suit, so there's only one bear suit. Mm. You see four bears, it's the same bear.
Right.
Same guy in the suit.
Yep.
Because there was only one suit.
Got it.
So 7 foot bear suit was already in existence. So right. They didn't make that. They went round to...
Probably one of the ones from Russian circus. He just got slipped
well,
up inside.
No, they went round to Jim Henson's creature shop and said, "You got any bears, mate?" And he went, "Oh, come and have a look in the back."
What fuzzy was he?
Yeah, they rummaged round and they had a 7 foot bear suit.
Wow, as you do.
With an animatronic head.
Hello, my name's Louis Theroux. And this weekend...
With
an animatronic...
Come and have a look at my bear.
Apparently everyone said they were bear. Right.
And the bloke who specialised in playing... the stuntman who specialised in playing animals for Jim Henson was at Jim Henson. He was still there. He'd been there a long time, apparently. So he wore the suit and operated the head.
Jim Henson?
No, Jim Henson's creature stuntman.
Right, the guy that operated, right, okay.
Yeah, they had a
so
guy.
He managed the animal's head.
Jim Henson had a guy whose job was to be the bear.
Wow. I mean, how much work does he get? I mean, you know, they said there was a suit hanging
up.
I mean,
yeah, what else? Also, what else could he be besides the bear?
Well, that's it. I mean, he's like, the guys do a really good bear. We don't need a bear, actually. I'm sorry, but I do a good bear. It's a Christmas panto. It's Father Christmas. Hey, how about a bear? No, doesn't really work. You know?
Exactly. So the exact line I found was, a stuntman from Henson's creature shop who specialised in playing animals wore the suit and operated the head. So this guy is a stuntman who specialises in playing animals. What other animals can he be besides a bear?
Well, there's a horse. He's the back of the horse. There's the front of the horse. There's a tiger.
Donkey.
There is, you know, up and down for the rides for, you know, the kids at the beach. There's a bear. I had a horse, a cow. I don't know. Stealthy.
Great job, though.
I suppose. Well,
I mean, now you're going to the list. It's apparent why he's worked off his feet.
I mean, he must know.
Worked off his hooves.
Oh, dear. Pause. I don't know. I mean, just how much work's going on, really. I mean, what do you do on a weekend when you're bored? Let's put the dog suit on, love.
So they choreographed the whole thing in London.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
Yeah, and then they went up to the River Dee in the Scottish Highlands filmed it. The reason they did most of it in London was because apparently the costume was very hot, very heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And okay, so you mentioned that the ad opens and it has a kind of a documentary format, doesn't it? So Neil Morrissey goes and does his fake Attenborough voice, and it's a long shot where we see the bears fishing for salmon.
Yeah.
The reason that it's a long shot is because the bear suit looked like exactly like what it was. It didn't look like a bear.
But you don't
look
like
a bear suit.
If it opens on a bunch of bears foraging around, that's a bunch of bears. You don't go, oh, what if, I've never watched an Attenborough thing.
So they shot it, they opened it long and went for and did a kind of a documentary grade in the post on it.
So
and then you're right. They do that zoom. Yeah. They do the zoom cut, and then you're let into the gag because they obviously start fighting. So
yeah, because they fight it in a bizarre sort of like comedic way.
Yeah, the bear kind of does a Muhammad Ali shuffle at one stage, doesn't it? And then Kung Fu kicks him and kicks him on the leg and bloke.
But it's unbelievable. It's not believable for a second, but you are taken along for the ride.
So I thought, I can remember the first time I saw this ad, and I saw it on a reel, not on the TV.
Mm.
And I remember being taken in until you do the crash zoom.
Yeah.
Because right up until then, unless you've already seen it,
nothing happening, is it?
Well, yeah, it looks like you're kind of waiting to see what's happening, but you wouldn't look at it and go, "Oh, those are fake bears."
Mm. No, not at all.
You look at it and then you go, "What the fuck is that bloke doing?" And then you do the crash zoom cut,
and then they
start fighting, and then it's
I think it's very good.
Yeah,
except for the eagle.
Definitely agree that.
But they must have done about 50 different takes. He must have done some really good stuff, like, oh, look over there, he's bear, or something, or I don't know, look, Paddington. They must have done a whole bunch of stuff, because I can't believe that was scripted, oh, look, there's an eagle. Because what's a bear going to do? He's going to say, what? Yeah?
Because our bears talk. Apparently, it talks like Max Bygraves. Just like, I want to tell you a story.
Yeah. I would have liked it a lot better if they could have not had that line in it. So, the year 2000, there was no YouTube.
No, there wasn't.
YouTube didn't launch, would not launch for another 5 years. But this ad was the first British ad to appear on adcritic.com.
Is that right?
Do you remember that?
No.
I didn't either. So adcritic.com was an American website that was set up which allowed people to put up their ads.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You could email.
Personally, I don't really like what they're doing with the animals.
And then you could email a link to the ad to your friends, which meant that by 2006, that ad had been viewed 3 million times.
Really?
Mm.
So that's interesting. So obviously it was, they didn't have obviously they did have a reasonable budget, but they're sitting there going, well, we've got this money. Let's just use one camera and it's only in Scotland. How are we going to waste the rest of it? So did they go and do recces around North America?
How much do you reckon they binned on that ad?
Oh, it's going to be either a lot of money that you go, wow, or it's going to be fuck punts and go, wow. I reckon £480,000. Higher. £600,000 pints. £700,000 pints. Do I hear £750,000 pounds? £780,000 pounds. £800,000 pounds. £1 million pounds. £1 million pounds.
Higher, there you go, love. What a point to make prizes.
£1 million pounds.
£1 million pounds.
They've got to shift a lot of tin salmon to justify that, haven't they?
Yeah, well, they would do, but you know, we've got Kermit's brother coming out, right? He's probably got four talent fees because there's bears there four times.
Bears move in different ways each time, man.
Is that our Tokyo correspondent just arriving?
I think, it's just leaving the premises.
£1 million that cost, and it won gold at Cannes in 2001.
Wow, did it? Well, okay, that's interesting. So, because I saw it, I think it was on air here, and I remember seeing it, just pissing myself laughing. It was very good. It was genuinely a good ad.
Right.
And all the reasons why we couldn't do it today, we'd have to have supers.
Oh,
what colour's the bear? Where's the bear from? All so many reasons, which is why ads like this will never happen again, which is why they're priceless.
The world has turned as well, hasn't it? So companies like John West now have massive corporate PR issues.
Because the original idea was punching a dolphin in the face. and he says, oh, I didn't mean to do it. Did you do it on porpoise?
I don't know whether this is because the ads never ran or the other ones weren't considered good enough to go on reels, but there's a whole bunch. They made a whole bunch of these here. The one that I looked at was okay, so it was like a parody of a Jacques Cousteau research ship and they're hauling a huge shark on board in a sling. They get it down on deck and it's like, again, the fake documentary voiceover says, we have to be really careful not to harm the animal. And then its mouth opens wide and the John West bloke comes out of the shark's mouth holding a salmon.
Oh, So, appetite appeals. That hasn't gone. Just gone. Yeah. So these are all for the £1 million?
No.
This
ad was £1 million. The one that we're looking at, the bear ad, cost £1 million. Most of that would have been in post, do you reckon, or not?
What, the bear?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a lot to shoot. No, it's not really. It's probably just multiplying the bear.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out where the £1 million went. I'm not really sure.
Well, so I mean, probably we've got to recce North America to find the right look. But probably paying off all the animals up in the River Dee. I don't know, painting the sky blue for that day? Not sure.
So the general idea is that John West make heroic efforts on behalf of the consumer to find the best fish.
What was his old tag before? Wasn't it John West
John West
rejects the salmon others. John.
Confused me.
I'm silence. Sorry, I'm going to have to look it up now because it's kind of important, isn't it? You try the best. You try the man of the best. I'm no genie, but I'll make you a wish. Spend a night with me.
It's the fish that John West reject that make.
Well done.
John West the best.
No, this is John West the best. Hang on, John.
Oh, yeah, it's the fish that John West rejects that makes John West the best.
There you go.
It's the fish that John West rejects that makes John West the best.
Okay, so it's the fish John West rejects that make John West the best.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, and I remembered that one. The tag in this is John West endures the worst. All right, so this ad is in the great tradition. This is what I writ down, right?
Are you written down?
I writ this down.
Well, I never used to be able to spell engineer, and now I use one.
This ad is in the great tradition of British absurd and surreal commercials. So it's that kind of absurd.
But a bit more stylish than John Cleese.
Yeah, but it's very British, isn't it? It's a very British advert.
I suppose so. More American, I would have thought. It's a little bit more obvious. You know, if it was a British one, it would have been, the guy, purely British, he would have sort of shuffled up to the bear and tried to pick his pocket or something like that. They're doing the whole fisty cuffs. It's very
USA.
This ad was made by Leo Burnett in London.
Was it Leo Burnett's Howard Spink at the time?
No, it's just Leo Burnett.
See, I remembered one of the long names finally.
It was a British ad for a British market. I'm not sure it got shown in Australia, did it?
I'm sure I would have seen it here. Yeah.
Part of the problem was that Unilever owned the brand in Europe and Heinz owned the brand in the rest of the world.
Oh, it's crazy.
So, which would make you think that it wouldn't get shown in Australia or America.
Who was that bloke that phoned us? There is no John West. Is there a John West?
I think John West is the British version of Captain Birdseye the Third. What was he called?
Imagine going there, going to a bar.
Claude Birdseye the Third.
But is there a real John West? It has to come from somewhere. I mean, even if it's made up, it's got to be based on someone. Why would you be? Hang on.
I got nothing.
No, okay.
I got nothing. Okay, here goes. Time to get a bit of learning down, yeah? The original John West was born in Scotland in 1809. He emigrated to America where he opened a cannery and exported fish to Great Britain. A British company called Pelling Stanley purchased the rights to use the John West name in 1888. And the first shipments of John West salmon appeared on British shelves in 1892. So there was a John West. And apparently he rejected the fish that weren't the best. This ad was voted by the industry the funniest ad ever.
Was it? I thought the Baldy Man was.
Do you think it's the funniest ad ever?
No.
It's very subjective, this, isn't it?
What, advertising?
Yeah, but they also the idea of funny.
But all of the ones you list there, they're very advertising, very ad man ads. Does that make sense? But is it the funniest? No. But what do we know?
What do we know?
It did break.
There's the list. If you were going to rearrange any of that, I mean, if I was going to rearrange it, I would have the Hamlet photo booth ad as the funniest ad ever. I had to choose from one of those ads.
These are a mixture of funniest ads and biggest ads and small quirky ads, aren't they? John West, Blackcurrant Tango is huge. Hamlet is, it's an interesting mix.
I think you could make a case for making the Blackcurrant Tango ad, the St. George ad, as number one.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't work anywhere else in the world. So it wouldn't be the world's funniest ad in Australia. No. And it certainly wouldn't be in America.
Come on, Juan. You come up here and your sombreros and your ponchos.
With the three Harrier jump jets at the end.
Yeah, everyone else says, why do they do that? But I think I read in Creative Review for the very first time, it said it was done in computer graphics. Like,
which makes me sad.
It's one of the things I tell everybody. They're not real.
That makes me sad. I would want them to be real. But
the bear as well.
It's like the...
Look at these little
the Dam Busters ad.
Yeah. You don't like that?
Nah. Not at all.
Not too soon?
Not even vaguely funny.
Really?
Not really.
That's a very John Cleese sort of Monty Python. The funniest bit is at the end. I mean, it's too layered. You know, the bouncing ball and the guy saving it. He always got football in it, right?
Yeah.
It's when they're talking and they lift it up. That's brilliant. It's a one-trick pony.
See, I think the Castlemaine Forex ads, and I don't know whether I'm biased because I live in Australia, but I think they're funny.
Yeah, but have you seen anyone drinking
it? Fucking hilarious.
Sorry, they would give a Castlemaine Forex really out of beer. So, yeah.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Every time we do a podcast, we have, this is the top 10 ads loved by...
Yeah, it's just because I like to...
I'm not to throw
some chum in the water and see what happens.
Oh, fishing talk.
Yeah, do you like that?
You got me hooked.
Do you like that? Right. Give us a score for the brand.
Branding. See, branding is difficult, right? Because there's a voice 713, you know it's John West, even though apparently he's not a real bloke. And he's got the tin at the end, although it could be a tin of anything. Branding, that's hard.
See, as a punter, 21 years later, you take the pack shot... And the voiceover off. Do you reckon? I reckon.
You'd look at that
straight away and go, yeah. John West.
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You would, because it was the breaking, pushing the envelope, wasn't it? Yeah. Branding 4.9.
Casting. How good was the bear? And how good was the bloke? Or bad was the bloke?
Well, I watched the bear.
I would have liked the whole fight sequence to have been just a little bit more subtle and to have got rid of the, oh, look, and
yeah, like he was nudging him out of the way or something, and it's like, you know. Like,
they could have started with a bit of pushing and shoving.
Yeah,
and
then so it was like, fuck off, more fucking fish.
Yeah, you know, and then gone to like
a full... Like a
bit
of, yeah, like the chicken head. And then just as bear, like, you know what I mean? You know when you
Friday night pub fight.
Yeah, yeah. So, but because, you know, the Muhammad Ali, it was funny, but it would have been a bit better if it was, Imagine if it's an ad, it has to be attention grabbing. I think the casting, the fisherman was a bit forgettable. What was he like? Yeah. Look, there's an eagle. Casting's got to be 3.2.
How much craft was in that ad? Was there any craft?
Well,
I mean,
funny.
I think there was a lot of craft from Peter Silburn. I think Peter did a great job in that.
It's one of the things, like, to make it look simple and basic, you've got to do a lot of work. It's, you know, it's not as simple as it sounds.
Craft.
Oh, see, this is difficult. Let me just chat with the city. I don't know. Dinner chips. I think we've said it's a 4.
It's a straight 4. And how creative is that?
Oh, that's going to be a 4.95. Really? Cool.
It is a 17.05. Well, how did I have 17.05? How did I have 13.45? That's rubbish. What an idiot.
I don't know.
Oh, look, I'm patting myself on the back because I managed
to turn... Well, you're advertising, mate. You're allowed to.
I'm patting myself on the back because I managed to turn the recorder on today. I've done really well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that must have changed. I always like to sit here and have a bit of a chat. So that was very good. I don't know if it... Yeah, for me, don't know. Which leads me... have we finished talking about John West, the best man can get?
Yeah, I don't...
So
I think we've done it, don't we? Where do we end up with that ad, though? I mean, a bunch of luminaries, like a bunch of people who, you know, are more successful in the advertising world than we are, have gone and said that's the funniest ad ever.
Well, I don't know if it's the funniest ad ever, but, you know, that's the day, isn't it? This lunch hour. But put it this way. Stumbled across it. We both remembered it. We thought, that's a classic. And there you go. Yep. Sometimes there's nothing more to look at except a bloke in a bear suit fighting a fisherman that's not really doing anything.
Yep.
I do remember, and I don't think it was John West, all the time it kept flashing, is like an ocean with all these tins jumping out of the ocean in the water, like snapping.
They've been very prolific in their advertising, John West, and they've spent a lot of money in Australia. There's been a lot of campaigning done in Australia for John West.
But do you remember that?
No.
I don't know whether I was just imagining
it. It's weird, isn't it? What we, you know, different people remember.
Well, we do like different things, which leads me. I got a segue. Oh, I fell off my segue once, right? To the next part. So the next time we're going to do something a bit different.
What are we doing? I love the way we sit down and discuss before, you know, before any.
That's what happens with live radio, man.
Okay, what you got?
Well, you just chop this bit out if you don't agree.
No, go.
Let's say goodbye. Thanks, Steve. See you then. For those staying on for the director's cut, please remain if you're in the Midlands and the North. Stay on for the news.
If you're on Yorkshire TV.
Yeah. If you're in London and the South, remain for the news. If you're in the North, next word's Coronation Street.
On Yorkshire TV, now the advert.
Boom, 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 boom.
£3 a lard when you join the Yorkshire Bank.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So, next time, pick your favourite ad. It doesn't have to be award-winning ad. It doesn't have to be even any good. All right. Just like, if you think no longer than 5 seconds about it, like Darren Brown, right?
Back in the room.
Like, you're back in the room. Like, yeah, look around the eyes, look around the eyes. Don't think about it. Don't think about the ads. Don't think about the products you never bought, right?
Is this why Jennifer Love Hewitt looks so dazed all the time?
I don't know what that even means.
Ow. Oh, I bit my lip.
Because she hypnotised her.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That was the only way you could get her to go out with you.
Smell this rag. It's not chloroform to you. All right.
Okay, so what? So.
So, pick your bet. Right. Okay, don't think of allowing it any longer than 5 seconds. I've got mine.
Okay.
Right. It can be old, new, whatever. Just your best dad. Right. You might change your mind tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. So, what you're going to do is you're going to bring it along with you next time. This is your homework. You bring your best dad, right? Bit of background info. I'll bring mine. And and that'll be it. So obviously it will be a classic. It's not going to be one, you know, from the local news or something.
Okay.
Tony, thank you very much. Look at that. That's production planning live here on Classic Ads from Simpler Times. That's how we do it. That's how much thought goes into this show, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's two people now. And thanks to John West for ringing in. That was good.
John West was hilarious.
I've got some more John West. I think he was just... I'll play them to you later.
What else have you got?
Oh, I don't know. I think he was John West ad example. I don't know what that could be. Hang on.
Well, now you're rocking out with me, the man in the vest. I'm the tuna fish man. I'm John West. I'm no G. One wish, spend a night with me and you learn to love fish. No, 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 no. There's no limits on quality.
Yeah, you know, see?
Okay.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.